This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And our show today will be devoted to one group live in our studio. They're called the Champaign-Urbana Hard Bop Collective, and they'll be playing at the Iron Post in Urbana Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, and that kicks off the Iron Post's Jazz Festival this weekend. And we've got five members of the Bop Collective, Hard Bop Collective, with us. Should be a fun hour, and I hope you'll stay tuned.
Opa, neguinho na estrada, opa, pra lá e pra cá. Veja que coisa mais linda, opa, neguinho começando a andar. Opa, neguinho na estrada, opa, pra lá e pra cá. Veja que coisa mais linda, opa, neguinho começando a andar. Começando a andar, começando a andar. E já começa a apanhar. Cresce, neguinho, me abraça, cresce, me ensina a cantar. Eu vim de tanta desgraça, mas muito te posso ensinar. Mas muito te posso ensinar. Capoeira, ziquezira, valentia, mas de verdade só posso esperar.
That was a tune called Upa Neguinho by Edu Lobo and Gianfrancesco Guarnieri, and featured the band called Bossa Nuevo, based here in Champaign-Urbana, and vocalist Holly Holmes. And the reason I played that is that at least one member of that band, the director, is also in the band we're going to be hearing live in our studio today, called the Champaign-Urbana Hard Bop Collective. He is a bassist from Kazakhstan and in the doctoral program in jazz studies at the University of Illinois, Karim Yangsep. And he's brought with him a chunk of the band, but not quite everybody. They're going to be opening the Jazz Festival at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, which is this Thursday through Saturday, June 9th through the 11th. And they start things off Thursday at 7 o'clock. And with us, we have trumpeter Nick Schroeder, tenor sax player Jonathan Beckett, pianist Chris Raymond, drummer Jay Sawyer, and, of course, Kareem Yangsip. And they say, or you say, Kareem, that a lot of what you do musically either comes from or is inspired by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers and some other folks around there.
Yeah, that was the major inspiration to put this band together. And actually, like you've mentioned, that we're going to have a different lineup on Thursday, but the band actually started, this was the original, we had a different drummer, but this is actually the original lineup we started out with, and Nick and Johnny and Chris have been there from the start and kind of helped me to put this book together. And then we added two more people on top of that.
Horn players.
You're going to hear on Thursday is kind of a very cool thing, because we're bringing some charts back from a local band that used to be around called Jazz Mayhem, and which included a lot of local veterans, including Jeff Helgeson. And he was very kind enough to bring some of those charts back. And it features a very unique voicing for two trumpets, tenor and trombone. It's a very powerful sound, which I think fits this music perfectly.
Will Jeff be joining you on the gig?
Yeah. Jeff is one of those people who, if it wasn't for him, I don't think we would have been able to do as much as we did with this music. He was kind of like always there, and I'd be sending him charts, and he just kind of give me feedback always. So it was great having him on board.
So who else will be joining you on Thursday?
And of course, and another thing that this band usually does is Chris and Professor John Hickey are kind of like two pianists that we use, and John Hickey, a wonderful Chicago pianist, will be in town, and so we invited her to play with us.
So you'll have two pianists, or you're going to kick Chris off the bench?
Yeah, I didn't want to go there, but...
I get the night off.
Chris is very nice. He's very nice to just say that, he doesn't mind. I hope.
And if he minds and says so, then he doesn't get a good grade in the class with Joan.
Right.
Well, why don't we just launch into a tune? What have you got
great,
for us?
Great. So we'd like to start out with a great composition by Wayne Shorter entitled Tell It Like It Is.
It's the CU Hard Bop Collective live in our studio here on Live and Local. Thank you. Boy, the folks in the office next door are just definitely going to be hearing you guys today. It's the Champaign-Urbana Hard Bop Collective, a tune by, was it Wayne Shorter?
Wayne Shorter.
Wayne Shorter.
Off the album Freedom Rider.
And what's the tune called?
Tell It Like It Is.
Tell It Like It Is. And I was just looking at the, I usually don't get a chance to actually look at the music here, but the way we're set up in the studio right now, I can look over Nick Schroeder's shoulder, so to speak. And I counted 48 measures in that piece on the page. And the amazing thing about jazz players is you could just turn those 48 measures into 8 hours if you really felt like it. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So Nick Schroeder, trumpet, Jonathan Beckett, tenor sax, Chris Raymond, piano, Jay Sawyer, drums, and Kareem Yangsep on the bass. Are any of you not in the jazz studies program at the U of I? Everybody is. So you're all scholars of the genre, right?
That's right.
So between the five of you, you can talk to me about what the heck is hard bop.
Great.
And is there such a thing as soft bop?
Well, this is a good question. I'm just going to start it off,
so,
and
yeah,
maybe people can add more. It actually came out as not as opposition, but almost at the same time when the cool jazz was happening on the West Coast, and this was kind of a response to that. And there's a lot of theories, and some people like Lee Morgan, trumpeter, like, they don't like the term, but for whatever reason the critics picked it up, and it started out with very firm roots in the gospel and rhythm and blues tradition, and like one of the canonic pieces was the 1955 recording by Horace Silver and Jazz Messengers, after which he took off and did his own thing. And so that was sort of the catalyst for what we do in this band. And maybe some guys can pitch in too.
That's a pretty good explanation, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to determine what does that actually mean?
Well,
the bop has to do with bebop, obviously. I mean, it's developed out of bebop, and so...
And bebop, for those who really don't know their jazz, what does that have to do with?
It just has to do with the improvisational style, I think. The way the connection of these linear lines to the vertical chords in the style, same style that Charlie Parker used, or at least the same lineage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kareem mentioned 1955 sort of as like this beginning of what has been sort of classified as the hard bop genre. Bebop was about 10, 12, maybe even 14 years before that. So the early 40s as sort of like this hipster underground response to the waning swing craze of the 30s and the 40s. Now, swing was still pretty popular then, but the jazz was, you know, beginning to divert in several different genres. And when we talk about, especially students, scholars, if you will, like us, very oftentimes we really focus on learning bebop as the basis of our language. I guess it's one of the more complex jazz languages to be spoken. So that's probably why in the collegiate realm there's a lot of focus that's paid towards bebop. But anyways, hard bop, I guess, is just sort of something that emerged out of that. Yeah.
So using the same style of improvisation, but I think the hard probably refers to the rhythm, right? The underlying rhythm, which is closer to the gospel, R&B stuff, or
sort of
influenced by
funky
soul.
Funky kind of,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like the, and maybe Jay can drop in on this too, like the shuffle that you heard on the last tune, that's kind of symbolic, especially for, I don't know, in my mind, for Art Blakey, when you think of him, it's this hard-driving groove, you know. And
so some of this, as Nick said earlier, was an answer when you said to the swing era. You're also talking about in the more jazz, strongly jazz-based groups, people like Basie and Ellington would be the predecessors, mm-hmm. sort of, to mm-hmm. bop, where you've got this big band and a lot of improv, but within a context of a lot more written out orchestrated music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something reasonable to add?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, making that comparison, you know, the Count Basie and Duke Ellington big bands, the big band personnel and instrumentation of having 17 to 22 players in a band was constantly something that jazz band leaders were struggling with over throughout the years. And fortunately, Basie and Ellington were able to stay working most of the time, but big bands sort of came and went. And so the more logical instrumentation would be this smaller, you know, smaller group setting, so that way we could have at least some level of sustainability for our own music.
So the size of the group has a lot to do with it, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more intimate sort of group, which also gives sort of a more intimate communication
mm-hmm.
with each other. And so you pass things around a lot more and respond to each other.
One thing that I'd like to add, kind of going off what was Nick was talking about, Art Blakey was quoted as saying that he does not like chaos and he loves discipline. And it's kind of, I mean, coming from Blakey, that, you know, people associate him with just like a thunder, you know, on the drum set. It's just like there's so much stuff going on. But in actuality, you can hear it in his music if you look at the arrangements like that go over like 30-year period, what the writers brought into the group, and these were like amazing jazz icons like Freddie Hubbard, Wayne Shorter, like Bobby Timmons. The structure of the music that they played is so orchestral. I mean, in a very simplistic sense, but the arrangements, the horn lines, the out choruses, you know, the shout choruses, all that they were able to do within a smaller group context. And that's what attracted me the most. Plus the, like, speaking of gospel and like rhythm and blues, the spirituality of this music is what attracts me the most. Is, I mean, when you hear these charts, I see just people in a club, you know, just having a great time, and yet never losing a sense of, like, you know, like the way they used to carry themselves, just like really nicely dressed. People know what's going on. And that was something that Art Blakey actually brought back in the 60s. And so, I mean, that band was like a legendary jazz institution, you know?
Art Blakey, 1919 to 1990, it says here. I was just looking up a little bit just to put somewhat in context, but his band, but the Jazz Messengers, mostly in the 60s? Around.
Well, he actually, I think he played till the very last day he was alive. I mean, he just couldn't stop playing. He was almost deaf by the end because he played so loud. But he played straight from, he actually played a lot with, like, the bebop people, you know? Like, there's a great story that bassist Reggie Workman talks about when Dizzy Gillespie walked into the room and Art Blakey was playing drums. And Reggie Workman says the way Art played, that he never played like that again. Just seeing his idols in the audience, that he grew out of that bebop era, and he went straight to the 90s.
Yeah, I have
drumming his way.
I have a great Billy Eckstein record that's from 1945. So Billy Eckstein was another big band, which is where a lot of the bebop guys would sort of have their day jobs, and then meaning they would play in those bands till 1 a.m. and then go do the bebop thing after that. But yeah, that has like Fats Navarro and Art Blakey's on drums, and I don't know, Bud Johnson. So, but anyways, this is Burning Album. Billy Eckstein Orchestra, 1945.
We're talking with members of the Champaign Urbana Hard Bop Collective, who are going to be opening the second annual Iron Post Jazz Festival this weekend, starting Thursday at 7 o'clock, and that runs through Saturday, and we'll also be having another of the bands on here on Friday, so we'll talk a little bit more about it. Then, our program today on Live and Local is made possible by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering over 1,000 contemporary and traditional guaranteed hand-knotted rugs made of pure wool or silk pile, from contemporary to traditional. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. I see on Nick's stand we have a tune by Benny Golson, if my glasses let me read right, called
Whisper
Knot.
Yeah, this is actually
Knot.
A great example of that era. He wrote it for Lee Morgan when Lee Morgan put out his first album out. And this is a perfect example of that style of writing where you can hear a lot of, like, very clear form delineation, and different sections of the tune are accented. So we'll do that then. Thank you.
We heard five members of the Champagne Urbana Hard Bop Collective in a tune by Benny Golson called Whisper Not. And we had trumpeter Nick Schroeder, tenor sax player Johnny Beckett, Chris Raymond on the piano, Jay Sawyer on the drums, and Kareem Yangsip on bass. And as we've talked, a lot of influence from Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers in the Hard Bop Collective's music. Art Blakey was a jazz drummer, and so I'm kind of curious, Jay, what you've taken from his style of drumming. Do you deliberately try to emulate it, or you just consider him an influence and move on from there?
Well, whenever you're playing an icon of music, when you're playing their music, you can't help but try to take something that they gave you through their music and try to put it back into the music that you're playing, you know. Art Blakey is a big influence on me. His command of the instrument really changed the way drums were viewed in the small group setting. Drums were already a very prolific instrument, you know, coming out of the big band era, being the driving force of the band. But until Art Blakey came, drums took a back seat in the small group setting. And Art Blakey really put drums back into the driver's seat of jazz. And that's really what I try to take from him. I try to have that authority in the way he plays, you know, which is very important to the group dynamic, I feel, in the band setting.
Are you able to talk at all about any of the stylistic differences between Art Blakey and some of the other influential drummers at the time?
Art Blakey, he has a couple of licks that are well known throughout, I'll say jazz education. Like, his press roll is infamous.
Can you demonstrate a press roll? I have no idea what that is.
Sure.
This is your chance to play professor here.
This is a press roll.
Okay.
And
sounds cool.
He would do that. He would do that in transitions and the tunes and stuff like that. And that would just blow everybody away. The audience would just be like, yeah! And everybody would just freak out. things like that. And Art Blakey would do a lot of things like that. He would play these triplet figures that everybody knows, to set up different sections of the tune, really get the crowd going. Art Blakey was an entertainer, and he showed that in his playing.
Well, I often think it's sometimes amusing and always interesting to watch drummers and the different expressions, you know, visual expressions they make, the facial expressions and the body motions. And we had a guy in here played drums for, I'm frankly forgetting what the name of the band was, or I have never seen anybody so animated in my life, and that was sort of putting it in a polite way. other guys who really are showmen, as you say, they're the sticks fly here and there. I mean, not actually fly up in the air, although I suppose you could do that, and probably would if you were in the drum corps. I was just kind of curious about that. Well, who are some of the other drummers that you have influenced you or you particularly admire, either from that era or any other time?
I really like Max Roach. He's from that era, started a little before him. Roy Haynes, Elvin Jones, very large influence on me. I try to take every drummer that has come before me very seriously and take something from them, especially if there's something I don't have, which I haven't been on Earth for that long, so they all have something I don't have, you know. So I think there's something I could take from every drummer.
And as Kareem said, a lot of the driving, you referred to Art Blakey as a driving force, and Kareem talked about a driving rhythm, a driving feel coming from the drum in this style.
The groove.
Yeah.
I mean, as a bass player, one thing about Blakey's bass players is that they're kind of, they were just these awesome guys who just would just stand back and just like drive the band with a drummer. But they'd be like, I look at them as just working the instrument, you know. And like especially in that era, you don't hear a lot of bass solos, and that's another thing that we can talk about. But
I assume that as a leader of this band, you're inclined to change that.
Well, not necessarily. Like I actually love the arrangements. That's why we play this music, and I just love to play and listen to what's going on. That to me, that's good enough, you know, for me to play this music.
Well, I love to hear it. So let's hear another one.
Okay, just a couple of words about this tune in particular. This tune was written by Bobby Timmons, and it's entitled So Tired. It's off the Night in Tunisia album by The Messengers. And what I'd like to say always when we play this live is that this tune is partially responsible for breaking down the Iron Curtain of the Soviet Union, because for a long time this was the opening track on a program called 49 Minutes of Jazz that used to be broadcasted on Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. And so they'd open up with this tune, and the Soviet Union used to block out a lot of these frequencies. And all you can hear would be just these some like parts of this tune that would just bleed out through the radio. And I think it's a, to me, it's a big thing to be able to actually play this live. So this is Bobby Timmons is So Tired.
The Champagne Urbana Hard Bop Collective here on Live and Local. I think I heard a press roll in there.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm paying a little of attention now and then. That was a tune called So Fine from Bobby Timmons. So Tired, sorry. So tired from Bobby Timmons. And played here by members of the CU Hard Bop Collective. They're going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And that kicks off the second annual jazz festival at the Iron Post. That almost seems redundant. They have so much jazz there in a normal week. But nonetheless, they're kind of concentrating on that Thursday through Saturday. And you're hearing the band live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. And I'm going to take a minute now, actually, just to mention some of the other things going on in our area, including some of the other things on that jazz festival. Looking ahead to that, on Friday at the Iron Post, lots of jazz going on. The West Coast Blues Ensemble, actually, at 5 o'clock Friday. Chip McNeil Quintet at 8 o'clock. Jay Sawyer Combo at 11 o'clock at night on Friday. And then that's the very same Jay Sawyer, who's in our studio right now on the drums. And then on Saturday, Paul Asaro, Jordan Kay, Josh Halchin Trio at the Iron Post, and Saturday afternoon at 3. And then Ray Sasaki is back to work with JQ, although I'm told they're called Jazz Sextet instead of Jazz Quintet for this particular gig, and we'll be having a bunch of those guys on the show on Friday to chat with us. Mike Fanolio at 10 o'clock Saturday. I don't think I missed anybody from the Iron Post. Today being Monday, we can say that Frank Parker's Jambalaya Jazz Jam is at the Brew House in Springfield at 5:30. Matt Hill plays blues at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. And the Decatur Municipal Band plays in Central Park in Decatur tonight at 7 o'clock. It's Grassroots Revival at the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. Musical Cats continues at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan tomorrow at 8 o'clock and through the week. And we'll be hearing about that from Executive Director of the Little Theater on the Square, John Stevens. We'll also be hearing about their Broadway Boot Camp on tomorrow's Live and Local. Little Theater also presents You Bug Me, A Bug's Life for Summer Theater from their Summer Theater for Young Audiences program. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30. And then the traditional jazz orchestras at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Those are just some of the things going on in our listening area, and you're always welcome to let us know about things that you know about that I may not. Write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L, calendar@illinois.edu. Johnny Beckett, you haven't said much of anything so far on the show. Johnny, the sax player, excuse me. And I was just kind of wondering on Kareem described earlier that you guys, this instrumentation is the original instrumentation for CU Hard Bop Collective, but on Thursday, you're going to be having the full complement of an additional trumpet to the one we have here, plus trombone. Mm-hmm. Does your role change when you add more horns?
Not really. It's about the same. What can change is who I play with. Oftentimes, instruments are grouped together. As it is, the only possible grouping now is tenor saxophone and trumpet, which is a classic combination. But in the situation that we're going to have on Thursday, I get a chance to play along with a trombone player who's going to be Ewan Edmonds, also a U of I grad student in jazz studies. So it's a little bit different texturally. It's a little bit different for me as far as matching instrumentally styles, pitches, and colors that come from the wind instruments.
And you pass the solos around a little bit more, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. There's the opportunity to play it changes a little bit. It's kind of nice to have a little bit larger musical community in that sense of just all being together and playing. And it's the expression of the music changes drastically when you add the two other voices. So that's
especially I would think also adding another low voice in the case of the trombone.
Yeah, well, we're akin in that way because essentially we're in the same range. The tenor sax and the trombone are essentially the same.
And that trombone is the tenor trombone.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
And even though the trombone reads concert key, it's in reality it could be considered a B flat instrument because its home position is plays a B flat. Hmm. So we're it's actually a good combination, the tenor and the trombone. It's one of my favorite configurations to play in.
And just as an aside, you sound like if you did sing, you'd sing tenor.
Well, if you say so.
I'm just guessing.
We're not going to find that out today.
No vocal solos. Does this kind of, actually this raises a question. Does this kind of, I'm trying to think of, are there many bebop bands or hard bop bands that have had vocal solos with them?
Not singing, just yelling.
Now that sounds like a qualitative judgment.
No, I mean, they weren't actually singing lyrics, but you hear a lot of vocal expressions in the old recordings.
Yeah. Right.
So there were vocals.
Does somebody like Nina Simone, I mean, does she figure into that style of music at all? I mean, as a different kind of vocalist than what I would say is your average vocalist.
I don't know.
Any idea?
I don't know much about her style, really.
Everyone is silent.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to. Well,
you
I'm
win, Kevin.
That wasn't my goal. To shut everybody up. That means I've just got to talk more or something like that.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, what sort of vocalists have fit into the hard bop, you know, or like instrumentation. And to be honest, I really don't recall a singer that really fits into that one. It, you know, possibly it is because. Because it's got a lot more of this gospel influence to it, it's like really like the horn players were trying to really sort of emit more of a vocal quality in our music, you know. So there, I guess to have a singer in that would create some redundancy, perhaps.
Yeah, the melodies and even the harmonies pretty simple, as it was gospel, 1-4-5 progression based around that kind of bassist, kind of bluesy. You know what I mean, and it would be redundant. Is you could, these melodies are very singable, you know. So to add a singer would they be doing the same thing the trumpet is doing?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. You know, I'm sure that guys like John Hendricks and some of the jazz vocalists that actually were very steeped into the scat tradition that sort of was brought up with bebop and Dizzy Gillespie. Those guys have played in the hard bop setting, and they could hang. But the thing, the really determining factor is that you got to have a vocalist that's going to be able to play the same type of stuff that Wayne Shorter's doing. You know, which that's getting kind of far away to the vocal from the vocal tradition. You know, so I think that that's sort of like a really long answer to the question: why are there not many vocalists? Yeah. In our hard bop music, you
and
know?
I probably don't want to sing this hard anyway.
But yeah, it's
hard on the voices.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
But one thing is definitely true is, like Jay mentioned, it. One thing that attracted me to this music in the first place is just the lyricism. I call it in my own way. It's almost to me this music is romantic. Like this next piece we're gonna do another. Classic composition by Benny Golson. To me, this is like the height of that romanticism and the lyricism of that music. And there are examples of vocalese pieces, like especially Moanin' comes to mind. That's just like, I think every vocalist has that in her book. You
so
know?
that the lyrics were added after the fact. Yeah. Someone added the lyrics to the melody.
But initially, yeah. these are really like when I think hard bop, I think horn lineup and a rhythm section, you know, and that's what I hear.
Yeah, it's pretty instrumental.
Yeah, and it's in its core, but lyricism. I mean, this music. That's how it gets you. You know, it's these musics you can hum, and every time I count off a tune, I hear the melody like. And you can sing it, you know, it's beautiful stuff.
Well, what listeners can't see you do, Kareem, as you're starting off, before they hear the count off, you're just kind of, I'm imagining you're probably hearing the tune in your head silently and sort of moving your hand and then figuring out
I mean,
this
playing
is,
gigs,
this
like
is the tempo and then there
you got to be able
off.
To And I'm still learning this process, but you have to hear the melody and how it fits within the context of other compositions, because you don't want to bore your audience, you know, with like same slow stuff or same up-tempo, you know, people get tired of that.
And you don't want to get the wrong tempo either.
Yes.
Because that can make
especially if you have more mature bad performers, like I'd look at them and they're like, I don't think so.
Oh, I've been in situations where like the band leader is counting off the tune in the total wrong tempo and he'll go one, two, yeah. I want, and like the band just like stares at him like, no, we are not playing that tempo. You can count it as long as you want.
Yeah, because once you count it off, you got to stick with that. And that's like, you better count it off right.
So
yeah.
Nick, in that case, what do they do? Just not play?
I mean, depending on sort of the relationship with the players and the band leader, you know, I mean.
Or they just play at the right tempo.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
That's the time where,
two. Like,
drummer or the bass player would take the initiative and be like, that's not it.
The alternative to sort of mitigating that problem would just be to like, you got like eight bars in the beginning where it's going to sound wrong, but you're just going to ratchet the whole thing up. Let's get it moving here eventually. Or pull it way back, you know.
That actually reminds me a little bit of stories I've heard. As a conductor, I've heard these stories where really top professional orchestras, when they first encounter a guest conductor, will size that person up almost from the moment they step on the podium. Mm-hmm. And they'll decide very quickly whether the orchestra is going to follow the conductor or follow the concertmaster, the first violinist. And I sure would hate to be one of those conductors who gets up and that's what they decide. I mean, for all I know, that's what my groups decide anyway. So far, they haven't told me that. All right. I love the name of this tune, Along Came Betty, Benny Golson.
Yeah, this is a composition of another masterpiece that came out in 1958 of the album called Moanin'. And we're going to feature a couple of soloists so we can fit into the right time slot. And so maybe trumpet, piano, and alt.
Okay.
So here we go. Thank you.
Tune by Benny Golson called Along Came Betty, played here by members of the Champaign Urbana Hard Bop Collective, trumpeter Nick Schroeder, sax player Jonathan Beckett, pianist Chris Raymond, drummer Jay Sawyer, and bassist and director Kareem Yengsep. So who was Betty?
I don't know.
Probably have to ask Benny.
Yeah.
Betty. Okay, Nick. Nick Schroeder does occasionally a jazz show on station WEFT in downtown Champaign on Fridays, and that's an assignment. You got two assignments for your next show.
Okay.
I want to hear a bop vocalist, hard bop vocalist, and I want to know who was Betty.
All right. We will get that figured out.
And maybe it'll turn out, maybe you'll also play Betty Carter or something like that. I don't know. She seems like somebody.
Maybe that's Betty. It could very well be.
I will
go figure that out.
Well, folks can go out and hear CU Hard Bop Collective to open the second annual jazz festival at the Iron Post downtown Urbana Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Appreciate everybody's coming in here.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And Kareem, you got to move your bass because I'm looking at the clock there. So I know when to end the show in about a couple of seconds. Support for our show comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the Series Collective, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1.